May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11.
Thank you. From the sacred and holy word of God, we'll read this evening from Psalm 136 and a few verses in Luke chapter 1. The 136th Psalm. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, Reading from verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him, from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed for ever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us in prayer. Gracious God, do help us now as we come once more into thy holy presence. And do show to us this evening that thy mercy still endures for poor sinners, that the door of mercy is not shut, the throne of thy mercy is not vacant, but that we poor sinners may approach unto thee, the God Most High. Grant, Lord, that many this night may be able to sing of thy mercy and triumph in redeeming love. We ask thy blessing to rest upon the services here this day. Do grant, Lord, in each heart a spirit of true thankfulness for thy providential and thy spiritual care. Lord, we can all rejoice in thy providential care. But how many of us, Lord, are subject to thy spiritual care? Lord, if we're strangers to it, give us that desire after it. If we aren't strangers to it, Lord, help us to be thankful and to seek yet for more thy eternal mercy. And Lord, may thy blessed and holy spirit lead each one to the language of our opening hymn. 'Twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. Lord, let that channel flow this evening into our hearts, and let them fill the dry places like a river, as thy word has promised. Grant to us, Lord, those streams of mercy, never ceasing to spring up within, traced from thy hand, traced from the fountainhead of thy grace. So, Lord, help us to be thankful for thy providence, for the harvest which is being gathered, that we may have food for another year. Lord, thy faithfulness and thy compassion should fill us with amazement, that we poor sinful men and women are fed by the hand of the one who we sin against. Help us, Lord, then to be truly thankful and raise this evening true notes of thankfulness for the harvest, for the food and the plenty which thou dost fill our tables with day by day. But Lord of harvest, grant that we may have a part in thy spiritual harvest, that we may be part of that living grain which shall not fall to the ground, but will be gathered into thy garner forevermore. Lord, we would be thankful for every spiritual food and spiritual drink which thou hast granted to our souls. But Lord, could it please thee this night to grant another feeding time? Or, Lord, the first feeding time if we've never known it. Let the manna fall from heaven, we beg, and may we be enabled to be truly thankful to thee for it. Let manna to our souls be given, that bread of life sent down from heaven. Gracious God, we seek great things, but we need great things. Do come, we beg then, and for Jesus' sake, hear our cry, and have mercy upon us. Bless this church and people, and do watch over them and be with them. Thank thee, Lord, that thou hast been with them. Do go on to be gracious. Do abide in this place. Do grant, Lord, thy blessing. Grant, Lord, that this may continue to be a good pasture for thy sheep to feed in. Make this, Lord, a Bethel to many, where the gate of heaven is, where Christ is revealed, the hope of glory. Bless those who hold office in this church and be with them. And grant them thine aid and help in all their responsibilities. Do bless them in the choice of the praises which are sung, service by service. Do grant help in the exercise of filling this pulpit with those whom thou hast sent here. And Lord, may it ever be that we be desired to be sent by thee, and that thy people may desire that thy servants are sent for a purpose into a pulpit, not just to fulfill an engagement, but sent by thee with a message from thine own lips. Lord, may none ever come unsent into this pulpit, or into any pulpits in our denomination. But Lord, may they come with thy authority, with thy blessing, to crown thy word with success. And grant, Lord, that there may be fruit which abides to thine honour, praise and glory. Do build up this church and people, we beg. And grant, dear Jesus, there may be that time of the singing of birds to come, that rejoicing in the church and in the congregation also. Do bless each one then who gathers here service by service. Remember each, Lord, in their various pathways and needs. Do supply in those needs. And do grant grace to hold on their way. And that faith to depend and to trust upon thee for all things. Do bless each cause represented, Lord, and what we pray for this people, we pray for them also. That they may be built up. That they may be blessed, that they may be kept. They may be fed and watered by thy hand. They may often be visited by thy grace. Bless thy servants with us tonight, and Lord, do work with them, do encourage them, do bless them. Do give them, Lord, that word to speak on the morrow. And may they prove, I will every burden bear. I will every need supply. Lord, do supply the needs in the ministerial pathway that thou hast called them to tread. And do grant, Lord, to them encouragements that they may know that they are thy servants, that thou art using them for the encouragement of thy people. Call by grace those dead in sin. Strengthen thy elect whom thou hast called. Grant, Lord, a greater and a deeper knowledge of thee. Lord, we beg, we may live to see better days in our land, days of revival, days when thy spirit goes forth and there is true godly repentance granted. May the day come, Lord, when those in government, those in the national church, those in the royal family, and if it could be thy will, those in every home in this land, are taught of thee in the saving way. Restore to our statute book thy laws which have been broken. Restore to us the sanctity of thy day. And grant, Lord, that the day may come when the people of this nation and, Lord, we would not seek to be pharisaical. But Lord, may the day come in each of our hearts that we keep thy day for love's sake as it should be kept. So Lord, we beg that thou wouldst come, that thou wouldst grant prosperity in the churches, that thou wouldst grant, gracious God, thy work to continue and to abide. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty, life to the dead, sight to the blind, and stop the ears of the deaf. Do work, we beg. Do work this evening. And grant, gracious Lord, that thy word may be a blessing, that it may be profitable to thy people, that it may be a word which abides, a word to plead, a word to walk in the days and weeks and months to come. We would remember thy servant who normally takes this service. We pray for him in a far-off land. We pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst be with him, that thou wouldst keep him in all his labours and journeyings, that thou wouldst bless his labours in that far-off land to the profit of many souls, that thou wouldst bring him back in peace and safety in the time appointed. And may he have that good conscience that he's done as thou hast commanded him. And now, Lord, do look down upon us in love and in mercy and smile upon us. Grant us to know thy presence. Grant us to know thy help, thine aid and blessing. Lead us into thy truth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, leave us not to do damage, Lord, to the flock, thy flock. But may we be in thine hand to be used for their good, for their profit. And thou shalt have all the praise, the honour and the glory. Do come then, we beg, and bless us now as we seek to worship thee, Father, Son and Holy Ghost. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 93. Hark, the voice of love and mercy sounds aloud from Calvary. See, it rends the rocks asunder, shakes the earth and veils the sky. It is finished. Hear the dying Saviour cry. Number 93.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention. I direct your thoughts this evening to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, and we will read verses 10 and 11. Second chapter in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th and the 11th verses. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." First glance, this subject may seem to be unusual and perhaps out of place for a Thanksgiving service. If God gives us the grace, beloved friends, I hope that we will be able to say by the end of the service that there could be no more suitable subject for such an occasion as this than the good tidings of the coming of the Saviour. Before turning to the words of our text, I would just remind you that we are gathered this evening in a Thanksgiving service to remember the Lord's mercy, the Lord's loving kindness to us in providence over the last year. We are sinners. And as sinners, we have forfeited any right to God's mercy and compassion upon us. And yet, even though we sin continually, that same God who you and I have grieved, who you and I have rebelled against, has day by day, without fail, given to us over this past year food for the table. It hasn't been, has there? Has there been a single occasion that you can remember in the past year when you didn't have food? These are great mercies, friends, which we should be thankful to God for. Are we thankful? When we come to the table to seek the Lord's blessing, do we do so from a truly thankful heart? I'm reminded of an illustration which Mr. Wood gave at the annual meeting several years ago. There was a young girl who was starting school for the first time. And her mother wondered during the day how she got on. When the time came, she went and picked her up from the school, and this girl came out. And she said, "They didn't say grace at the meal time." And this mother said to the child, "Did you say it to yourself?" Friends, I've never forgotten the answer that I understand that girl gave. No, she said. I said it to God. Friends, that is the way to give thanks before we partake of our meals. That's the way to say our prayers. Not formally, not to ourselves, not out of tradition, but to God. And it's only prayer like that that God will hear. And so I trust as we come this evening to this Thanksgiving Day, we do come with a thankful heart to God for his mercies and providence, for food, for health. That's a mercy, isn't it? We don't deserve our health either. And yet we're healthy. Now there may be times when we fall into sicknesses. And some of you have known that, but you've been raised up again, haven't you? Is there in our hearts then that thanksgiving to God for giving us our health, for giving us our possessions, for giving us our homes, our families, our careers? These are all God's providential mercies, not to be despised, but we are to be grateful for them, because we don't deserve one of them. Well, I leave those thoughts of introduction to you, and I hope there may be a prophet. And now, with the Lord's help, may we turn to these words. The angel said unto them. This angel Gabriel, well, we're not told his name, but I think it probably was the angel Gabriel, but we'll leave that. An angel of the Lord sent from heaven to these few humble, poor, despised shepherds. I understand that in the days of our text, that shepherds were despised and looked down upon because they were often poor. It wasn't to the chief priests that this angel was sent, was it? It wasn't to the king. It wasn't to a rich family. No, it was to these shepherds. We don't know their names. We don't know how many of them there were. But this angel of the Lord leaves heaven and comes upon them as they watch by night over their flock. Why were they so afraid? I'll tell you why, friends. We're told that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. That glory is a holy glory. That glory is a perfect glory. And if that glory shines in any one of our hearts, we will be conscious of our sinnership. We will be conscious, if we are given that grace to see the Lord by faith. And those who see him the most and are favoured to walk closest to him, know much of their sinnership. Know what it is much to cry for mercy, for help. Why? Because the more you see of Christ, the more you'll see his holiness. And you'll be conscious of your unholiness. You'll see his purity. You'll be conscious of your own impurity. You'll see his sinlessness. You'll be conscious of your sinfulness. Sin brings fear. Sin brings dread. Because we know our consciences testify that our sin will be dealt with. And sin will be dealt with, friends. All sin will be dealt with. Price has to be paid for your sin and for mine. Has Christ paid that price, or will you and I pay that price eternally, one or the other? But the angel is sent to silence their fears. And the angel said unto them, fear not. God gives you a fear not, there'll be true rejoicing in your heart. God gives you a fear not, there'll be true thankfulness in your heart that he should come down from heaven and notice such a poor sinful worm as you and as me. You think the Lord, the Almighty God, the Creator, should take notice of one so poor, so wretched, so helpless, so bankrupt, so corrupt, and say, fear not. All the Lord's fear nots are full of love. They're full of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that, beloved friends, sacred truth, is a reason for the most profound thanksgiving. That Almighty God should have goodwill towards poor sinners. We don't deserve his goodwill. We deserve his anger. We deserve his wrath. We deserve his judgment. But the Lord in mercy has sent into the world his Son. And he came to bring peace where there was bitterness, joy where there was sorrow, healing of the breach which sin had made. And the angel answered, and the angel said unto them, fear not. He said unto them, personal word. You and I need personal dealings with God. We need God to speak personally to us. And if you and I have a need spiritually, we cannot rest on what others say. We cannot be content that the Lord is speaking to others, although we should be thankful for that. But is there that desire, Lord, speak to me also? The words of everlasting life, the word of everlasting peace, the word of everlasting comfort, the word of pardon. Every fear not which God gives his church is a word of pardon. And if God has said to you, fear not, you can be sure of two things. Firstly, there's nothing to fear. But secondly, he's given you that fear not because he knows that there are going to be fears in the way. He doesn't give a fear not for nothing. And he's given you your fear not to depend upon as a shield in the day of battle. And Satan cannot vanquish you, poor trembling soul, this evening. If you can shelter this evening behind one of the fear nots of God's word. Fear not. The Lord has never given a child of wrath a fear not, because they have every reason to fear. If you and I are not found in the covenant of grace, if you and I are strangers to God, if you and I are running in the way of sin, we've every reason to fear. We've got a day of judgment to face. We have an eternity to spend. We have a holy God to stand before. And out of Christ, he is a devouring and consuming fire. And you know, friends, hell is a place of continual fear, continual dread, continual torment. Does that cause some of you to fear and to tremble this evening? Well, may the Lord give you a fear not. And may you know through his own favour that goodwill which he has toward men, towards his sheep. Fear not. Many fears in the way, aren't there? Tremblings. We have the devil, who on the one hand will tempt, and he knows where your weakest spot is. You won't go for that sin that you hate, friend. He'll go for that one that you love. That one that you're so in love with, you don't even know you're committing. But it's still sin. And it will still be dealt with. And you're still accountable to God for that sin. And then on the other hand, we have a devil who will accuse. And he has some fiery darts, doesn't he? Some of you know it. There's accusations which pierce the soul and cause it to dread, to tremble, to fear, to quake. Fear not, trembling soul this evening. Why not? Because a Saviour has been born. And in the Lord's good time, you will know what we have in our text here. Unto you is born this day a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you, personal. And this fear not will come right where you are. With all your fear, with all your doubts, with all your temptations, with all your dread, with all your little faith. With all your sorrows, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Your joy no man will take from you. It's the Lord's promise. And he's faithful to every promise he's given to his church. And then the Lord may have laid upon one of you a particular exercise. And you fear to tread in that path which he's laid before you. Fear not, brethren. Joyful stand on the borders of your land. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on in spite of your fears. Go on, not go back. Go on to the rock. Go on, trusting in all-sufficient grace. Go on, trusting in God to supply all your need, as he has done. In your pathway heretofore, he won't forsake you now. He's going to lead you forth in that way. And he's going to make all his goodness pass before you every step of it. And so that path that this evening you are saying you cannot and you will not walk in, he's going to constrain you by his grace and by his love so to walk in that way. And of Christ, in your vessel, you've no need to fear. No need to dread. You don't know what the future holds. You don't know how this path is going to unfurl before you, what's going to be around that next corner. But he does know. He does know. And it's in his control. And fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, and you're going to need strength. Because this is a path in which all natural strength is going to go. But he's going to strengthen you. You haven't got the strength, but he has. You haven't got the wisdom, but he has. You haven't got the ability, but he has. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look at Elijah for a moment. When he went into that wilderness, he got to that point and his wit's end. Couldn't go on. He thought it was better for him to die in the wilderness alone. And what was the word of the Lord? Is it a word for one of you this evening? Go, return. What doest thou here, Elijah? Go, return. Return, you say? I can't. Go, return. Return, trusting in the Lord. Return, seeking the Lord's help. Return. Perhaps you've got to return and say sorry. But go return. Perhaps you've got to return and go and be faithful to someone. And up till now you've dreaded to speak. Go return. Perhaps you fear they don't want you. They're not going to talk. They're not going to listen to you. Go return. Friend Elijah had to return, didn't he? So will you. And how did Elijah return? Dependent. You know, friends, he returned in a different spirit to what he went out. He thought he was the only one in Israel. And yet the Lord told him there were 7,000. And he had to return in that humble spirit. He had to prove that it was the Lord that had worked with him on Mount Carmel. But you know, friend, the God of Carmel is the God of the wilderness. You may be in the wilderness tonight. A lonely place, a hostile place, a dark place, a dangerous place. But God is still watching over you and watching with you. And though it may be his will for you to return to where you've left, I don't know why I'm speaking like this evening. But if that is his will, then seek grace to follow his direction. As Elijah did, and you will prove just as Elijah proved. Jezebel wasn't allowed to kill him, was she? Elijah was safe because he was in the hand of his God. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't take his life. They couldn't harm him. And Elijah never saw death. So, beloved friends, in whatever command the Lord gives us, whether it is to go forward or whether it is go return, may we seek to run in that commandment willingly for love's sake. But fear not, neither let thine hands be slack, because you've got a God to trust in, a God to go to, a God who still hears, who still answers prayer. Well, we seem to have been sidetracked, don't we, from the text, but may there have been a purpose in it. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, when the Lord says, behold, he doesn't mean a carnal beholding, a fleshly look. What he's really saying is, behold with the eye of faith. Consider prayerfully what the Lord is saying. And ask him to give you that spiritual sight to enter in and to see and to behold for yourself the Lamb of God. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. They didn't have to go and find these good tidings themselves, did they? The angel came right where they were and brought them to them. And beloved friend, the Lord in his time will come to you, and he will bring to you tidings of good joy. Tidings of great joy. You haven't got to go and earn them. You haven't got to merit them. You haven't got to buy them. By his own blessed and Holy Spirit, he will come in his time, and he will bring. You haven't got to do anything. Jesus will do it all. And what has he done? Everything that was required of his people, the Lord Jesus Christ has paid that and satisfied that requirement. Have good tidings ever been brought then to us? And if they have been brought to you, you'll know who brought them. Yes, the Lord will have, no doubt, perhaps have used instruments. But it's God that brought those good tidings of great joy to your soul. And it's God that has all the glory, all the honour, and all the praise. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And what rejoicing there is in heaven this night, because the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. May we be given that same faith to rejoice in a lower float, in a lower frame. Have you ever rejoiced that there is a Saviour? That there is a way of mercy? There is a throne of grace? That He is a compassionate, a merciful, and a faithful High Priest? Beloved friend, if you are weighed down by sin, if you are burdened and in bondage and in chains because of your guilt, the Lord seals home to you these good tidings. You cannot but rejoice. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. All people. Now that doesn't mean all mankind. It means all the Lord's sheep. But it means that in every generation of time, in every land, continent, upon earth, every tribe, every nation, Lord has a people who He has saved, redeemed, loved. All people. Now we're all great sinners. Let's be clear, friend. There's no such thing as a little sinner in God's sight. But if you're taught by God's grace, you'll feel to be the chiefest of sinners. You'll feel to be the vilest, the most bankrupt, the worst case possible. These good tidings are for all people, the vilest, the most far off, the most polluted, the most vile. Fear not. He says to that one afar off and dare not approach. Fear not, he says to that one crying for mercy. But dare not lift up his eyes unto heaven. Fear not, he says to that one who trembles even to bow their head in prayer or come to the Lord's house or open his sacred word. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The Anointed One, the One ordained by God to come to be the Saviour. The one and the only Saviour. There's none else, friends, that can save from sin. There's none else that can save from hell. There's none else that can save from wrath. None else that can save from despair. But this Saviour can, and He does. A Saviour. This day, born, that day appointed for Christ to come. Friends, if Christ had never been born, He could never have lived that life of righteousness on your behalf. Believer, if Christ had never been born, He could never have died. And therefore, we would have had no hope. So we should rejoice that that day did come when the promise was fulfilled and Christ was born. a holy birth by mysterious. We cannot explain how it was, nor are we meant to. But friends, faith relies upon it. Faith rejoices in it. Faith trusts in it. That Saviour born, perfect, holy, spotless, undefiled, separate from sinners. A Saviour which is Christ the Lord. And he's still Christ the Lord this evening, friends. He still bears that name, Emmanuel. God with us. How can God be with us? Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to redeem them, to pay the price, to take away all that would separate between God and his church. Do you love the name Emmanuel? Precious name, God with us. Friends, God is with us, so he's against us. Solemn thought. Take that thought home and ask Almighty God to make known to you his name, Emmanuel, to you. And if he makes known to you and reveals himself to you by that name, he'll never be against you. He'll never be absent from you, but he'll be for you to all eternity. He'll be for you in that great day of judgment. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And may we be helped now to ponder a little upon that life. And we see right from the very start that life was a life of sorrow. The shepherds didn't find him, did they? In comfortable surroundings. They didn't find him in a palace. They found the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent from God himself, in that manger in a stable. And we're told why, aren't we? There was no room for them in the inn. There was room for everybody else, but no room for the Saviour. No room for Christ. And right on that first day, we see the Lord beginning to walk in that path of which he was referred to, wasn't he, on that road to Emmaus. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? I pondered that in the interval, a stranger in Jerusalem. Well, you know, friends, in one sense, the Lord was a stranger throughout his life. He walked a lonely path, didn't he? Path of suffering, a path of grief. A path of rejection of men. He was a stranger to its comforts. He was a stranger to its sinful pleasures. He was a stranger to its company. That company oppressed him, and the company of the Saviour oppressed those sinful men and women. He was an outcast, wasn't he? He was despised, rejected, crucified, mocked, spat upon, derided. And beloved friend, if you are to be a disciple of the Lord, you too must in measure know what it is to be a stranger in Jerusalem. Don't expect the world to help you or to understand you. Don't expect the professing church, which only has an empty profession but knows nothing of Christ, to help you or be sympathetic. Won't be. In measure, you too will be called to follow in that same path, a stranger in Jerusalem. But it is the way the master trod. Should not the servant tread it too? And you don't tread it alone. He trod it alone. You don't. He's with it. He's in it with you. And beloved friends, it's far, far better to be a stranger to this natural world than to be a stranger to God, to be a stranger to Christ, to be a stranger to his salvation, to be a stranger to his righteousness. A Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Ponder then that holy life, that holy childhood in Nazareth. Let us ponder those first recorded words that we have of the Saviour. Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Always at the forefront of his life, my Father's business. The business he's given me to do and sent me to perform. The work of salvation. My Father's business. Beloved friends, is that business our business? Are we seeking, in a gospel sense, not in a legal sense, but for love's sake, to honour the Father, to honour the Son, to honour the Holy Ghost by seeking to live a life worthy of him? You cannot do it without the aid of the Holy Spirit. But do we desire his Spirit to come? Do we desire that God's honour and glory be at the forefront of our concerns, forefront of our conversation, forefront of what we do? My Father's business. Christ the Lord. And then my next thought. I went to Jordan. Have you ever noticed this, friends? The very commencement of his public ministry, when the Lord was baptized. And, beloved friends, he set the example and took that necessary step. What does he say to John? Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Didn't say it becometh me, did he? He said us. And the Lord has appointed and ordained that sinners saved by grace, taught to love him, should follow him in that path. But this was a thought that struck me. Have you ever noticed? When he came up out of Jordan, out of the water, we read he was praying. Commencement of his public ministry. The commencement of his public life. The commencement of that visible part of the robe of righteousness that he was weaving out for his sheep. The commencement of that life of such contradiction. The commencement of that life in which he was to know much hardship, much grief. He prayed. Beloved friends, if you ponder that life, how often do we read of the Lord praying? Prayed in the wilderness for his disciples. He prayed early in the morning, He prayed in Gethsemane's garden. Prayed on the cross. His life began, continued and ended with prayer. Does ours? How much more do we need to pray, friends? Christ has set the example. May we follow it. The life of faith is a life of prayer. The life of dependence. And God has not forbidden us to pray. He has in fact commanded it. There is nothing. There is no burden, no cause too small or too great, but that you cannot bring before him in prayer and ask for help. Pray that your soul might be saved. Pray that our souls might be kept. Pray that you come to the Lord's house, that your soul might be fed. Pray as you leave the Lord's house. In fact, let's go on, pray while you're in the Lord's house, that you may be kept, worshipping in a right frame, not mocking, not in a worldly spirit. And then let us pray as we leave the Lord's house, that his word may abide with us, not be snatched away. Pray that we may have a faith which endures. Pray that we may have an interest in the prayers of the great high priest above, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have prayed for thee, thy faith fail not. If Christ has prayed for you, your faith cannot fail. That doesn't mean that there won't be times when it seems to be failing, but it won't fail. All that is fleshly will fail. They'll be burnt up. That which is true, that which is living, that which comes from God, it cannot fail. It's as eternal as God himself is eternal. Let us pray as we are aided by God that we might be kept from grieving him. Kept in the way of faith, kept humble, kept dependent, kept on our knees. And may those of us who are called to preach be much in prayer that the Lord might use us to his honour and glory for the feeding of his sheep. And then may we be much in prayer about the day of our death. If there's ever a moment when you and I will need a saviour, it's on that day of our death. What a blessing if that day, that Saviour might be born in our hearts. He might be revealed to us as our Saviour, our Lord, our Jesus, our God. It's a tremendous moment, you know, when flesh and heart shall fail. Everything that is of the flesh will die. Everything that is natural will cease. Forever. If our religion is only natural, it will cease and die when we need it most. Oh, for a faith which will overcome, which will endure a dying hour. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. This Saviour that went to Calvary, this Saviour that suffered, that bled, that died, that he might bring you, believer, to God in peace. You know, and the Lord's people ponder their own deaths, I should think that each one desires that they may die in peace and quietness. While, beloved friend, the Lord has his will for you in that day. And it may be his will that in that day you know much of the adversary of souls tempting you. You know much darkness, you know much fear, much bondage, you may wonder why. Look to Jesus. His death, he died in peace, didn't he? Eventually. In those hours leading up, what suffering, what sorrow, what terror, what temptation did he endure? Believer, he may call you in a little measure to walk that same path of fellowship in his sufferings. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? It may be a dark hour, maybe a trying hour. But beloved friend, the Lord is watching over you and with you in your hour now of darkness. And he will watch with you even in that hour of death, even though it may be a dark hour and you cannot feel his presence as you would like. He'll watch with you. He'll preserve you. He'll keep you. He'll bless you. And whether the Lord's people die in the dark or die in the full assurance of faith, they all get safe home to land, safe home to glory. When there's no more darkness, no more Satan, no more fear, no more dread, no more bondage. And then you'll know what it is. You've known what it is to be with him in his sorrows here below. You've known what it is to continue with him in his temptations. Our beloved friend, when the work of grace is done, you'll know what it is to be with him in glory, to behold him face to face and have a part in his victory. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to us. forgive. O Lord, all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss, in our worship of thy great and holy name, hear this day. Do bless thy word to our souls. Do be with us now as we separate. And do be with us wherever we gather on thy day. May we gather, Lord, with thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.